You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at qalaminstitute.org and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/qalaminstitute.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. قال الله تعالى في الكتاب الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة وبعد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, God Almighty in the Quran, He sends down many chapters and many verses. There are over 6,000 verses in the entire Quran collectively. There is one chapter, however, consisting of three verses, which all of us probably know, even the young children. And this one chapter, and Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said about this chapter in the Quran, he said that if these verses, these three verses, were the only three verses to be sent down ever in the entire revelation of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, then this message that's carried in these three verses would be sufficient enough for humanity's guidance. Other mufassirin, other commentators in the Quran, they note that this surah, this chapter in the Quran, it carries the message of the entire Quran. All the other chapters can be found between. So the Mufassirin say that the entire Quran, the entire message, can be found between Surah Al-Hujurat and the end. And everything between Surah Al-Hujurat and the end can be found in this chapter of the Quran, these three verses. And this chapter is Surah Al-Asr, the chapter called The Time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter, He begins with an interesting message. But first we need to talk about why are we talking about this surah? All of us probably in our Dhuhr prayers or in our Asr prayers or in our Fajr prayers or whatever prayer that we're praying, we've probably recited this surah at least once a day. And many of us, if you're like, you know, some people, maybe myself, we recite it every prayer, right? Because a lot of us have busy times. A lot of us have a busy day. A lot of us have schedules in school or work or family. And we don't have time to recite Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Yasin in our prayers. So we like to recite the shorter surahs. Now the problem that comes about from this methodology, though, is when we constantly recite these shorter surahs over and over again, the meaning and the understanding of these verses that Allah is sending to us, that God is giving us, is lost. So when you constantly have the same thing for dinner, night in and night out, over and over again, you begin to eventually lose the flavor of that. You begin to eventually lose the liking for that thing because it's old news, it's getting old, right? In Urdu, there's a phrase called gerti murgi. It's just like house chicken, it's just normal food, right? But this chapter in the Quran is so deep in meaning. If you dive into it, it's like diving into a pool. If you look around, there's just gems everywhere. So it's important that as we tell our kids to memorize Quran, and as we ourselves memorize the Quran, we don't just memorize the meaning of this book in Arabic and become like parrots just to recite it back. But we have to develop a sense of understanding within the Quran. And there's a couple ways to do this. Number one is Arabic. And I'm not saying that you need to learn Arabic so that you can go and speak with all the ammus at a dinner party. That's not the reason why we learn Arabic. That's a nice reason to learn Arabic, but the reason why we learn Arabic is to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So if someone learns Arabic and they can understand every single word in the Quran and all the meaning, but they can't speak a word of it when they go over to Jordan or to Syria or to Egypt, that's fine. Mission accomplished. That is your goal. And Hafiz Noman, we know he teaches Arabic classes, and so if you're interested in picking up a little bit here and there, go and learn from him, go and learn from the people who know, so that we can understand this book of Allah. The Surah Al-Asr is three verses. The first verse is Wal Asr. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Asr. And this wow at the beginning of Al Asr of the verse is called Wow bil Qasam. It is something that, it's a wow, it's a letter that God swears by. And so for a lot of the younger people who maybe we don't understand or people who are not familiar with the Arabic language or grammar, back in the day when I used to play basketball in Chicago with my friends and someone used to call a foul. Right? Like they go in for the layup and they miss the layup terribly. It goes all over and they say, that's a foul, man, you fouled me. Right? And what was the response that we would say back to them? I'll put that on my mom, I didn't foul you. Right? And I apologize, I know it's not respectful to say this in the message, but I'm trying to get across the point of what it is. So when I say I put that on my mom or I put that on my father that I didn't foul you, right? It's a huge oath that I'm taking. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by saying, Wal Asr, Wal Fajr, he's putting that oath in front of it that's like stronger than any oath that we can make. So God himself is swearing. He says, "Wal asr, by al-asr." What is the meaning of al-asr? The commentators of the people who have studied the Quran, they say there's a couple different meanings. And these meanings, they don't contradict. So we can take all of them. One of them is the definite, for sure the meaning of it is time. What the word means in English is time. And asr just means time. It means all of time in its entirety. So if I told you from all the beginning of time till now, that's asr. Actually, asr is from the beginning of time to the end of time. So God is swearing by this huge, massive amounts of time that none of us will be able to fully comprehend. And some of the scholars of Quran say that the reason why he's swearing by this, you cannot understand what all of time is like. When I tell you to think about millions and millions of seconds or days or hours or whatever, when I tell you to think about a large amount of time, the human being cannot comprehend that large amount of time. And so God is showing us, simply by swearing it, that he knows what we do not know. He understands what we cannot understand. He is of a level of intelligence and wisdom that we will not be able to comprehend. And so it was important to submit to him and his will. The second meaning is the Asr prayer. Some scholars say that this, well, Asr means the Asr prayer, the actual prayer in the evening time, right? There's five prayers we know in Islam. The Asr prayer is the third prayer during the day. Some scholars say Allah is swearing by that prayer. And why would he swear by this prayer? Well, look and analyze your day. Many of us, alhamdulillah, there was a brother who was coming in today, and he was telling me that on Fridays, mashallah, he has a half day at work. Many of us are like, wow, where you work? Let me get a job there, right? Friday's half day. But many of us, we have very busy schedules, whether we're students or whether we're fathers or mothers and we work or whatever our lifestyle is, we have busy schedules. Things come up. And so we're always constantly looking at this and that and this and meeting and that meeting. The scholars say, don't forget the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're constantly checking our calendars and our books and our assignments and all the things. For I have to meet with this professor, I have to meet with this person, my boss is going to meet with me, I have to meet. Don't forget the meeting with Allah. And the Asr prayer, the reason why it's so emphasized is because it's right in that portion of the day that is very difficult to get things done. Between midday and the evening, you're just trying to wrap up your day. You're trying to wrap up your work day and trying to head home. You're trying to wrap up your school day and trying to get back home to, or to the library or somewhere. And bam, Asr hits. You have 20 minutes left to pray it. What are you going to do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us simply in one verse that he's swearing by an Asr. Don't forget an Asr. The third meaning, and this is the meaning that we're going to discuss today in today's short khutbah inshaAllah, is the scholars say that al-Asr is the amount of time or the period of time that is between when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was given revelation by God on high up until the end of time. It is the period of time from when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ became a prophet, from when Muhammad ibn Abdullah ﷺ, from when he received revelation until the end of time. So Allah is swearing by this end of time. And why is this important? Because he wants to show us the importance of the Messenger ﷺ. That from when he came to finalize the message, from when he came to continue on and finalize and put his stamp, the seal of the message of believing one God alone, the same message as all the other prophets have been giving, that is when time really started for a lot of us. And so this message that Allah is saying is that this time, your time is now. And he's swearing by it. Then he continues and he says in the next verse, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna, which again, we went over this before in another khutbah, inna, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with inna, it's tawqeed. It has emphasis. So if I were to put inna into like a form, like if I were to say inna is this, inna is like when I go like this. Right? When I'm talking to someone, I go, man, that's inna. So Allah is saying, inna, and insana lafi khusr. Verily, mankind, all of creation, not Muslim, Christian, Jewish, this, no, atheist, no. All of creation, all of nas and nas, all of humankind, lafi khusr, lafi khusrin. La here, lafi means inside. But fi, the actual word fi, is really what means inside. So if I said, ana fi masjid, I am in the masjid. That gets the meaning across. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, verily, all of mankind is in loss. Khusrin, they're all in loss. And la here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the la in front of the fi, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this loss is so large, it's so massive, that it's like we're drowning in it. So God himself is putting the default existence for humanity. is that we are in loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Well, some people, we might look around and might say, well, you know, Bill Gates isn't really in loss right now. Right? T-Pain, he's not really losing. He's got a ton of money. Right? Or we might look at some of our family members and say, they're not really in loss right now. They got, their life is good. They're enjoying their life. What does Allah mean that they're in loss? This verse doesn't make sense. They're not in loss. The Quran tells us later in Surah, or earlier in Surah Az-Zumar, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِهُمْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Verily, those who are in loss are those who will lose themselves and their families on the Day of Judgment. God is not talking about this life. He's not saying that these people are losers or that humankind is you know, we're all a group of losers in this life. No. He's saying that verily, what's going to happen, the majority of people will not grasp this message. They will not follow it and understand it. So in the next life, unfortunately, they will be in loss. Stressing against the importance of faith, of Iman. How many of us were born into Islam? How many of us, we were born from our mothers and fathers, and we had no idea that we were born with such a great blessing as belief in God Almighty? Think about the difficulties that a lot of people who accept Islam have to go through. And how Iman is so prized, faith is so valuable. And these people who have accepted Islam, sometimes they have to go through difficulties with their own families not accepting them, with their communities not accepting them. With they themselves questioning, do I have to change my personality? Do I have to change who I am? Do I have to wear kurta shawar all the time? Do I have to wear a thobe? Does this make me Muslim? You know, one time, my father, who's a convert, who's accepted Islam, his name is Jim Murphy. If you saw him on the street, you would never know he was Muslim. He went into a masjid in a certain city, and he was looking for something, and he asked one of the people, he said, where is this part of the masjid? He saw a brother from one of the Eastern Muslim countries. He says, where is this? He was looking for a space in the masjid. And the guy said, why are you asking? And my dad goes, because I need to go there. And he goes, oh, sorry, you didn't look Muslim. Like, what does that even mean, you don't look Muslim? If we saw the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, we would see a bunch of group of different people who none of them looked alike. They were all from different facets and different you know, walks of life. They all had different looks. They all had different clothes. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't wear any specific kind of clothing. He wore what was given to him. And so when we see people who accept Islam, or people who maybe they were born Muslim, but later on in life they decide to start practicing, we need to give them hope and mercy. We need to accept them. We need to give them the acceptance of the community without judging them. We can't look at someone's earrings or someone's tattoos or someone's, you know, whatever they wear or look like and say, this is what makes you Muslim. No! Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you what makes you Muslim is that you're not going to be a loser in the next life. What makes you Muslim is that you're not going to be a loss then. It has nothing to do with what you're wearing or what you look like or what you talk like or what you listen to or what you eat. Nothing. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him, the companions asked him, they said, What will be the things that will get people into Jannah the most? He said, you want to know the two things? They said, yes, tell us those two things. He said, taqwa, having God consciousness, realizing that God is watching you and that He can hear you. And the second thing is good character. وحسن الخلق. So we have to make sure that we live a life where we're treating our relationship with God and our relationship with our community the best that we can. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is setting the default. He's setting the standard. And then afterwards He says, illa. And when this word illa, which means except, or however, when it pops up, instantly we should feel, what? Who? Who are the exception? I want to be the exception. If Allah is saying that all of humanity is going to be in loss, and then He says except, then we should listen up and be like, who is the exception? Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this a lot in the Quran because He's trying to get our attention. Because when you're reading the Quran, you might doze off a little bit. He says, Illa, you're supposed to perk up. Who? Who's the exception? I don't want to be a loser. Who wants to be a loser in this room? Who wants to walk around the Day of Judgment like this? No one wants to do that. No one wants to be a loser. So He says, Illa, illa alladhina amanu, those who believe. Again, showing you that faith is not easy. Illa alladhina amanu. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. God says, except for those who believe and they do good deeds, they do righteous deeds, and they hold each other or advise each other together in truth and they advise each other together in patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is giving us the four characteristics if we do not want to be a loser on the next day, in the next life, on the day of judgment. He's giving us the four characteristics. And we're going to go over this, and that will be the end of the khutbah. The first is الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe. And we just talked about this, that it's difficult to accept this. It's difficult to come to terms and accept Islam. Even if you're born Muslim, a lot of young people in this country, they're born Muslim, and they haven't actually accepted Islam. It's been given to them as a beautiful gift, and they themselves have to come to terms with it. And so, as Sheikh Abdel Nasser said last week at the program, he said, mothers and fathers, when your children come home from school, 7-8 hours, if they go to the public school, or even the private school, even the Islamic school, they're not just coming home from 7 or 8 hours of studying and working, they're coming from 7 and 8 hours of trying to keep their iman inside of them. How many of y'all have been inside a public school recently and seen what goes on? It's very un-Islamic behavior, right? But when they come out of that, they come out of that refined and strong. And the way that they do that is when they come home, there's love and acceptance. Yes, we need to improve them. Yes, I'm not saying let them make mistakes and say, oh, well, you know, no. But do it in a way that doesn't create a hyper amount of fear that the kids come home and they run to their room and they don't want to get in trouble. That's not the way that the Prophet ﷺ was. That's not the way that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was. People were never scared of him. Even those people who disagreed with him, they said, we respect you. Abu Sufyan's daughter, Abu Sufyan wanted to kill the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and his daughter married the Prophet, and he said what? He said, I could not imagine a better person for my daughter to marry. Allah. So when the Prophet ﷺ was around, people were attracted. He was magnetic. Ask yourself the question, when our families come home, when our spouses come home, when my wife comes home, does she want to go to the room or does she want to sit and talk with me? What is my personality? Because that will reinforce the faith. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And in Arabic grammar, this is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَمِلُوا, which means a plural in the marfu' form of doing something, الصَّالِحَاتِ. If you look at the grammar of the word, if you look at the grammar of the phrase, technically, something is missing. In between عَمِلُوا and صَالِحَاتِ, there should be the action that is done. عَمِلُوا الْأَعْمَالِ صَالِحَاتِ. There should be another word in between there. Why did God leave it out? This is interesting and this is beautiful. Listen up. Two reasons. Number one is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, wanted to reinforce the fact that we are all different people. Look around the room. We all look different. We all dress different. We all talk different. We all eat different food. We're different people. That means that our good deeds that we are good at doing, that we feel comfortable doing, they're going to be different too. Maybe some people like to read Quran, mashallah. Maybe some people like to give to charity, mashallah. Maybe some people like to go out and help people and give people food. Maybe some people like to work with the youth, like myself, mashallah. Don't limit the good deeds that people can do to what you think the good deeds are that they can do. Everyone has a different personality. Everyone has a different fingerprint. Everyone has a different spiritual status, and they are good at different things. So if a brother or sister is good at art and painting, calligraphy, or doing whatever, let them do it. Amilu salihat. There's no specific definition. God is not giving a specified action for someone to do. He says that if you are one of these people who you do righteous things, in what? In anything that you do. But it has to be salih. It has to be righteous. So I can't say, I'm about to go to the club. I'm about to go do some good deeds at the club. No, it doesn't work like that. It's got to be righteous deeds that you're personally good at. The second grammar point that's beautiful here is that whenever something is taken away, let me put this in English. If I come home and I walk in the front door and I open the fridge and I say, somebody ate my sandwich. And my family goes, what kind of sandwich was it? I go, it doesn't matter what kind of sandwich it was, someone ate it, right? I didn't say somebody ate my salami sandwich. I didn't say that. I don't care what kind of sandwich it was. All I care is that I came home, I was hungry, and somebody ate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is leaving out what kind of good deed. Why? Because he's putting emphasis on the quality of the deed, not the quantity. He's saying you don't want to rush and do tons of good deeds that are low quality. Aminu salihat, he's saying that you want to do righteousness. You want to do righteousness. Why? Don't worry about the amount. Just do it. And this is a tip for our young people or maybe people who are struggling. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that in order to be religious, you have to go build a masjid. or you have to go memorize the entire Quran and all the Sahih Sitta books of Hadith. No, he's not saying this. The Sahaba one time, they were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ gave them some advice. He said, every time you do a bad deed, he said, follow it up with a good deed. And they, and you know, that seems to be very difficult. How many bad deeds do we make a day? We commit a lot of mistakes. I know I do. We make a lot of mistakes a day. Right? So the companions, they began to get worried. Because they're like, man, if I have to follow up every bad deed with a good deed, I'm not going to have time to eat. Right? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, is a good deed if we just say La ilaha illallah, that there's no God worthy of worship but God? And the Prophet ﷺ said, that is the best deed you could do. Showing us what? That we don't have to take on these monumental tasks for our good deeds. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, He's saying, those who do good deeds. What? Even small good deeds. Don't let the size of the deed bog you down. If it means you're donating one quarter, if you reach in your pocket and you have $1, and you're like, I want to donate, but I only have $1, don't let that stop you. Give it. One quarter. One penny. As the Prophet ﷺ said, even half a date of charity will save you from the hellfire. Half of a little piece of date. What is that? It's nothing. But the quality is good because it's a righteous deed. Don't worry about the quantity, worry about the quality. And then he continues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with the last two. He says, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. He says, and those who have wasiyah with each other, tawassul, they encourage, not just advise. Advising is different. When I advise someone, I say, Neil, you need to, mashallah, keep dressing the way you're dressing because it looks great. That's an advice. But if I went with Neil, I said, Neil, we're going to go shopping. We're going to buy more clothes like that. You're going to look good all the time. That's wasiyah. That's encouragement. That's enjoining him in goodness. So when Allah says, you want to enjoin each other in truth, He's not just saying walk around and say, hey, everyone, believe in the truth, everyone, and haq, believe in it. No. He's saying that act in a way that people want to believe in the truth. And here, implicitly, God is saying what? Be a community. You notice up until this point, the amilu salihat has been plural. Atawasu bil haq is plural. Atawasu bil sabr is plural. Implicitly in this advice, God is saying what? You can't do it alone. There's strength in numbers. And you see this. Oftentimes, brothers or sisters, they'll come to me for advice and they'll say, man, I fell off. I made a mistake. And I'll say, what happened? I said, you know, I have a good group of friends that I hang out with, but one time I just left them and I went without them and I just made a mistake. Why? Because the wolf attacks the lone sheep. The wolf will not attack a group of sheep together. The wolf attacks the lone sheep. Do not let shaitan attack you as a lone sheep. Always be with the flock. Always be with the group. Even if you're someone that you've been burned by the community. Let's say you came in and someone says something to you. Like someone said, someone told my dad, you don't look Muslim. Like, what does that even mean? But my dad should still not run away from the community and say, you know what? Forget these people. Forgive your brothers and sisters' mistakes and don't isolate yourself from the community. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. So Allah is saying, encourage each other in truth, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, and encourage each other in patience. Let me ask you a question. Isn't patience part of truth? Patience is part of truth, right? When you say al-haq, when you say the truth, you're talking about this deen, you're talking about faith, and being patient is part of this faith. This is a grammatical tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, where He mentions something general, am, and then He mentions something khas, right? He mentions something specific. Why? To talk about the importance of this specific matter in the general. Let me tell you how it works. So if I said, tonight we ate biryani, and guess what? It had chicken in it. Right? We had this food, we had this chicken biryani, and the chicken was so good. I'm mentioning the chicken specifically, showing you what? That the general thing was the biryani, the general thing was the food, but the chicken was so good that it basically made the whole dish. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, He's saying that encourage each other in truth. And a very, very, very important part of this truth is sabr, patience. And as Ali radiallahu anhu said, our Sayyid Ali, he said that truth is the body and patience is the head of the body. Because if you have truth but you don't have patience when dealing with your people, with yourself or with your family or with your community, the truth will never get out. Imagine someone who has the truth but he doesn't have patience. The Prophet ﷺ was, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was an amazing person because he carried the truth. But really, his patience in dealing with people is something that I can give a whole khutbah about. And maybe we will, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who are not losers on the next life, but rather we are winners. And how are we winners? By إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. That we have faith, we do good deeds, no matter the size of the good deed. We encourage each other in truth, and we encourage each other in patience as a community, and we do not isolate ourselves, because we know that isolation is the cause of degradation of faith. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Just a quick reminder about something that's coming up that's very, very contextual. We have a lot of students here in the masjid, and also we just have a lot of students in general in the university or in the high schools, and their exams are coming up. Some of them I know are taking exams today. Ashraf, I believe you had an exam today. MashaAllah, inshallah, you aced it, inshallah. So we have some people who are taking exams either today or next week or whenever. One thing first and foremost is please, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of our students success on their exams. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the best grades, because we know that with the best grades comes a better society. And we ask God Almighty to give the best grades to all of the students, not just the Muslim students, all of the students, because we need our economy and our society to pick up. And how does that work? Through education and through higher education and success at the college level and university level. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Aside from that, whether or not you're a student, when you're a student, you have this feeling more powerfully. But even if you are at the work day, or if you are just in the daily grind, you have this feeling that every day, towards the end of the day, right? You start work at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., and as it's getting closer to 5 o'clock, 4:30, 4:45, 4:50, 4:55, your heart starts leaping, right? And especially, it's even more emphasized on Fridays, because you know that the weekend's coming. And you start getting very excited. With students, when the exams are coming, you know that there's difficulty, but you know that after the exam, what? It's chill time. I'm gonna get Modern Warfare 3, and I'm just gonna live in my bedroom, right? That's it. I'm gonna eat hot Cheetos all day, that's it. Think about this feeling. Think about that feeling. The feeling of putting in such hard work. And maybe for a lot of us who are getting older, we're looking forward to retirement. I worked for 25, 30 years. I can't wait to just chill and get a check every month for sitting down doing nothing. Right? We keep our eyes on the prize. Don't forget to keep your eyes on the prize of paradise. That same feeling that we have when we're about to take our exams and then we're going to pass and then relax in summer or winter vacation, or the day of work is almost over, or we're almost at retirement, or we're almost about to graduate, or we're almost at... That's the same feeling that we should have about paradise, about Jannah. Put in the work now. Do the studying now. Do well on the tests now. That way we can pass, inshallah, together as a community into the gates of paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us all to pass in with ease, with no hisab, with no accountability. We know we make mistakes. We don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at our mistakes. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.